Do I dare bring out the Johnny Carson book?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
This book's got great reviews.
It's really good. This guy is so tight with Johnny. That's what makes it so good. You know, the only bummer is Carson, you know, kind of getting up there in terms of some of the references are pretty old. But I've kind of accounted for that. The guy that wrote the book is Johnny's agent, lawyer, his boyfriend, practically. He's Mr. Everything, basically. And he was rather resentful at times at some of the things he had to do for Johnny. Because he was a lawyer. I didn't blame him. But, God, some great stories.
Who's this, your new boyfriend? Great. You got a new boyfriend.
Where's the story? I thought I marked this. Please tell me I marked this. I'm looking for this roast where...
Four.
What did my boyfriend just say?
Three.
He is not my boyfriend!
Oh, boy.
I'll tell the story if I can't find it. Johnny's at a roast, and this is so silly. He's sitting next to Flip Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Told you, the references are a little...
Is that the Devil Baby Do It? Is that him?
Yeah, that's him.
Is it Geraldine?
Geraldine, yeah.
God, stupid.
I know.
Stupid. God, bits are so dumb when you look it back on them after years.
It seems like when 10 years pass, they all seem dumb. That's not true.
No, Mr. Show still holds up.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Some SNL stuff still holds up.
It's at the front. Johnny's at a roast. He's sitting next to Flip Wilson, and everybody's getting pretty bombed. As you know, those guys, I mean, considering you think of like Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, people like that, you think, oh, that was so long ago. You know, they must have been so straight. No, they were wild.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were crazy. The Rat Pack.
Those old roasts are the best.
Oh, and those were nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Just nasty as hell. So anyway, Flip Wilson starts just laughing his cojones off. And it's like, what is up with Flip Wilson? He was seated behind Johnny on the third tier on the dais. Suddenly burst out laughing in his inimitable high-pitched cackle. It seemed that Johnny, who was quite drunk in the middle of the second tier, with 10 guys on either side, had taken a wine bucket and was peeing into it. The audience couldn't see this. They could only hear the growing mirth. But when Jonathan Winters joined Carson, the whole room collapsed with laughter.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
Jonathan Winters.
The references are ridiculous. I didn't understand.
Did you ever find Jonathan Winters hilarious?
No. No.
Mirth? Was it Mirth? you hated... If there's one show Drew Lane hated, it was... not Laverne Sherwood. Morgan Mindy.
I just didn't think it was funny. I don't know. Sorry. I guess I'm the only one.
I was too young. I mean, I've seen it in reruns growing up, but...
My teammates used to have, like, a Mork and Mindy viewing party, and I refused to go after a while because I just thought the show sucked.
It dressed standard.
And it
doesn't
was on
care if it's a team-building event.
It was on a Tuesday night, too. I think it was on Tuesday night.
Did your teammates used to go nanu-nanu to each other after a home run?
I hope not. If they did, I blocked it out.
No, they cut you out because you weren't at the viewing party.
Very possibly.
Nanu, nanu. Every time they hit a home run. So stupid.
Johnny gets asked, he's at this event, and he all of a sudden Frank Sinatra reveals to the author, Johnny's main dude.
His boyfriend.
Henry Bushkin. Yeah, okay, we'll just call him his boyfriend from now on. If you want him to be so bad, turns you on that much.
He's not my boyfriend!
Turns me on.
Frank Sinatra wants to talk to him. It's like, Frank Sinatra, how does he even know who I am? So he's just about to go over and find out what it is, and Johnny says, I'll handle this, Henry. So Johnny goes over there, comes back looking really bummed out. It's like, what the hell happened? So Johnny says, could you go over and talk to him? He wants me to MC the inauguration, this big inauguration event with all these big donors and stuff. They're putting on this, and Frank Sinatra's in charge of it. And so he asked Johnny, as a personal favor to him, could he host it?
Can't say no to him.
Not for Reagan, for him. So, you know, Henry goes and talks to him. But the bottom line is, he's stuck. He has to do it. Because you just don't say no to Frank Sinatra. I don't know why you can't say no to Frank Sinatra, but I guess you can't. So
even
anyway.
Then, that seems weird that you couldn't say no to Sinatra.
In 81. Yeah. Nope, I guess not.
He was nobody. I mean, well, not nobody, but he wasn't producing stuff. I mean, Johnny didn't really need Sinatra, did he?
I don't think so. I don't know. I just didn't really get that. I just think people were afraid of Frank, it sounds like.
Because of the mafia?
Yeah, sort of. Maybe. Johnny got in a little bit of a hassle with some big boys like that. He hit on some chick that was with some mafia dude. Yeah, he had no idea. He was just bummed.
Well, he hit on every chick, didn't he?
So, yeah. No, he wasn't that bad. He was selective. Anyway, this guy threw him down a flight of stairs.
Really?
Yeah, Johnny was pretty beat up. And ooh. I think he missed a couple tapings. Because this guy said he was going to kill him. So he was freaked out. He was like, he didn't want to leave the house. He was staying with somebody else. And then finally, somebody intervened and made it okay.
Yeah, it was probably Frank.
I don't think it was Frank. It was somebody else. But
thanks for doing the inauguration. I'll make this go away.
For that personal favor you did for me.
Run along back to Dublin and find yourself a bottle to crawl into.
So anyway, he said this inauguration event is getting ready to take place. And Bob Hope is among the...
Yes.
Then that's one of Johnny's biggest complaints is, you know, these people are all past their expiration date. Bob Hope, Charlton Heston, Debbie Boone, which, you know, she's Pat Boone's daughter.
You
so
light
I guess
up my life.
She gets dragged in this thing.
Hey, she does an infomercial now. I
know.
Swear, doesn't
I've
she?
Seen it, Mark. I've yeah. seen it. I know. It is frightening.
What's it for? I don't even remember what it's
I
for.
I can't remember either. Johnny and the guy that wrote the book, Henry, are hanging out.
His boyfriend.
Yeah, his boyfriend. And Henry's really digging it because Johnny's telling him stories and telling jokes and stuff. Usually, you know, he just hears...
He's not my boyfriend!
Hears everything Johnny does when he performs, but he's now performing to an audience of one, him, so he's kind of enjoying this. Anyway, he's going on and on about Bob Hope cheap stories because Bob Hope is supposed to be so notoriously cheap.
Really? Wow.
And he said his top writers... who, by the way, should have been replaced decades ago, if you ask me. Al Goodman and Larry Klein used to complain that at Christmas, Bob Hope would invite them to his home in Toluca Lake in order to give them their Christmas gifts. Hope's idea of Yuletide generosity was to lead the guys to a large room filled with all the freebies he'd received from commercial sponsors and give them their choice of whatever's in the room. I know.
Oh, my God.
Take whatever you like, fellas.
He probably was proud of that, too. I ain't pay for any of this.
From there, Johnny Sagan is doing cheap jokes that he had me doubled up. You want to know how cheap? You want to know how cheap Hope is? How cheap? Say how cheap he is. When Bob pulls a dollar bill from his pocket, it blinks at the light of day. God.
Yikes.
You want to know how cheap Hope is? How cheap? Bob is so cheap, he takes off his glasses when he's not looking at anything.
That's kind of funny.
You know how cheap Bob Hope is?
How cheap is he?
Bob is so cheap, he won't buy new clothes. He's worn his suits so long, they've been in style four times.
Yeah, boy. Yikes.
So anyway, they're backstage. They're getting ready to get started with this thing. And Dean Martin arrives backstage with his agent, Mort Viner, an old tennis friend. Dean is just bummed.
Of course.
Just bummed. Doesn't know where he is.
Doesn't know where he is.
Doesn't know where he is.
Oh, Dino.
Johnny says, what's going on, Dean? He says, a good friend passed away. I'm in mourning. That's awful, Dean. Who died? I'm old driver, Dean mumbled, but I can't remember his... goddamn name. Dean, do you know where you are? Johnny asked, half concerned. Dean looked at Johnny, not comprehending. Finally muttered, do you have any lamb chops?
What?
Dean, I'm not the maitre d', Johnny sputtered. I'm hosting, for Christ's sakes, not serving. Then Johnny turned to me and whispered, speak to Viner, because I will not introduce Dean. He can't stand up. I called Mort over and delivered the news, despite the obvious disaster and waiting. Viner assured me Dean would sober up the moment the TV camera came on. Are you kidding me? He doesn't even know where he is. This happens all the time. Sinatra ends up intervening and saying, sit him over there, put the camera on him once in a while. sit him next to Barbara, his wife.
Barbara.
Yeah. Put the camera on him once in a while. He's not going on stage. Forget it. Done.
That's great.
And then Bob Hope loses his cufflinks, and there's all these pretty major celebrities backstage. All of them are looking furiously for Bob Hope's cufflinks.
How stupid.
Yeah, and so Johnny's...
And I guess I would bet that Bob Hope's not looking at all. He's probably standing...
Hey, anybody look over there?
Yeah, I got a couple diamonds on them.
Anyway, the Henry, the author, he ends up loaning his cufflinks to Bob.
Oh,
Bob
really?
Bob was his cufflinks. Oh. He never got them back, by the way.
Oh, did he at least get to go to Toluca Lake and pick out a freebie?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, what a bummer. Wow, what a great book.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's better stuff. His life does get very messy. But, oh, my God. Even though it ends in the dark. Mike Tirico's upon us. Hey, Mike.
How are you? Were you? I caught you in the middle of that story. Were you talking about the Dean Martin celebrity roast?
No, it was actually the inauguration that Johnny had to host.
Okay, good.
Have you seen that Johnny Carson book? It's really good.
I have not. That would be great. Do you remember those celebrity roasts, by the way?
Oh, yeah, the best.
You want to talk about TV that would never fly today?
No.
People, with all due respect, I mean, famous celebrities were trashed.
I know.
I guess the term of the day was bombed. I mean, on the dais there, laughing and telling moderately off-color jokes, and these things were televised.
Yeah, I thought those guys were so unhip, too, but they were pretty wild. They had a lot of fun.
Everything is unhip as you get older. Now, the younger you are, the things that happen with older people are less hip. And those things were not cool until you look back at them and realize how huge stars they were and what they got away with on TV. The Dean Martin celebrity roast, they used to sell them like videos on VHS. Like,
yeah.
Show after show after show. And poor celebrities would get up there and they would just get shredded by Dean Martin and Joey Bishop and Sammy Davis and a full the original Rat Pack, I would guess.
You know, I never, when I first saw those, I almost couldn't believe this wasn't on, this couldn't have been on TV. This is really on TV. Are you sure this isn't a videotape or something? But they were on TV.
And not on HBO or Showtime.
No.
Cinemax. They were on like 11:30 late night syndicated Saturday night TV and Friday night TV.
Yeah, they were vicious too.
Yeah, they were.
they were brutal.
It would be a great thing to bring back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, now you could just show them in all their glory.
I think we have them on CD somewhere.
Oh, the ones on CD? The ones with Jerry?
Yeah,
Jerry Lewis.
And there was a lot of focus on Milton Berle's
yes.
unit.
His manhood. Oh, man. You know what? I never got done with this Bob Hope, Johnny Carson stuff.
Where are my cufflinks?
Oh, man. What a visual. I mean, seriously, like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin bombed off his ass looking for Bob Hope's cufflinks.
Oh, wow.
They're probably in his pocket.
We got to dig up those old roasts, the old Dean Martin roasts.
Yeah, they were really. Now, those were not televised, the ones on CD.
No.
Those were nasty.
Worse.
Nasty stuff. What happened in the end in this deal, I forgot one part where they're getting ready to get started. I think they're like a half an hour from starting this inaugural event. You know, it's all for newly elected President Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
So Sinatra's invited all. He's in charge. He's the producer, basically. He's invited all these stars, people he calls stars. And they're kind of hanging out backstage. Bob Hope arrives right away, started looking for Johnny. Here, he said, handing Carson some papers. I've written some lines you might like to use.
What?
From Carson's point of view, this was a sign of disrespect and indication the other man, the older man, didn't think Johnny was up to the occasion. He offered Johnny Carson,
Joe,
who has writers that he, you know, were working especially on the inaugural, who had an entire monologue written for him. He didn't need Bob Hope's jokes.
Johnny did a monologue every
night.
Single night.
I know.
Why does Bob Hope think... Wow, that's incredible.
He said something like, I've been entertaining presidents since FDR. You'll love these. Thought he was doing him a big favor, but he actually was insulted as hell.
Well, how did Johnny, did Johnny was like,
Johnny says, thanks, Bob. That's really sweet of you.
Said,
the material's all set, but thanks anyway.
That's actually a great answer.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, there's nothing I can do. Material's all set.
And then he said to Henry afterwards, can you imagine the nerve of the man to think I need jokes from him? From him?
That is incredible. Wow, I'm sure they were terrible, too.
Oh, this one, Frank shows up. Frank's here. This is Dean Martin is still hammered.
Hey, can I have some chips from the casino? When I was at the casino, Dean, said Frank evenly, then turned to Mort Viner. Take him out. Have him sit next to Barbara. Every once in a while, we'll put him on camera. And then Johnny finds out, because he starts seeing cameras, that this thing's being videotaped. He had no idea. So then he finds out the producer is someone he hates, mm-hmm. and he insists to Henry, if this son of a bitch cuts my monologue, because he apparently chopped him up in some previous event, which Johnny's a pretty long memory for stuff like that. So Henry, his main man, talks to him. Oh, no, no, I wouldn't cut his monologue. Are you kidding me? So they're at dinner afterwards, where Johnny's wife, Joanna, is crying for no reason. No one knows. Why is Joanna crying? I don't know. I'm going to find out in a second. But they've got televisions in the dinner, the dining hall, or this restaurant. It's actually a swanky restaurant, but they've got television set up. So they're running. This guy's already produced the thing. Within like 2 hours afterwards, he's produced it. The monologue's cut to shreds.
Oh, what a jerk.
I know. So Johnny's now just steaming, and his wife is crying.
Oh,
so
my gosh, poor guy.
He pulls her over some area, I guess, away from the tables, and she's crying because Victoria McMahon had better seats than her.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, way to read the room, honey.
It wouldn't have happened if you cared about me.
Oh, my God. I know. I feel bad for Johnny. No wonder he never went out.
Johnny takes all of it out on Henry, by the way. It's all Henry's
fault.
His
boyfriend?
Yeah. It's not his boyfriend, Mark. But the funniest thing is that he thinks that everything...
What did my boyfriend just say?
He thinks everything's going to be okay.
Who's this, your new boyfriend? Great. You got a new boyfriend.
Ooh, what are you going to do? Tell your boyfriend about it?
He thinks everything will be okay because there's a VIP tour the next day of the White House, and he was led to believe that they're all going to have an audience with Reagan.
Oh, yeah. So, why wouldn't you? He just did his inauguration.
Yeah, Joanna's all excited about that. They've got their furs. The ladies do. Yeah. So anyway, he gets home. Henry does. He's got five messages from Johnny. Turns out the White House tour was
a White House tour. What, like anybody
like
can go on?
Like you and I would get.
Could you imagine, like, if you were on there and there's Johnny Carson?
He stayed an extra day. No, they were private. It was a private tour.
Oh, but it was still the same.
But it was, yeah, the same basic tour.
Yeah, you don't get to see Reagan. And
No.
The Lincoln bedroom.
No Reagan.
Yeah.
So he had five messages from Johnny screaming about he stayed an extra day in Washington to get the same tour.
What is Baskin supposed to do about that?
I don't know. Bushkin, I think.
Or Bushkin, yeah. What is he supposed to do about that?
This happens all the time. This is the thing that you find in this book. Basically, he's paid to take crap from Johnny Carson. That's what his job is. Because, I mean, the lawyer stuff, the agent stuff, he's a pro. He knows what he's doing. He's brilliant. The wheeling and dealing stuff is really interesting.
Apparently wasn't paid enough. He's writing this book.
Yeah, I guess not. Well, that's what, you know, we're talking about that. Johnny Carson being such a private guy, you figure he'd be mortified that somebody's writing a book. He's been dead for a while, though. Who cares? My God.
Well, that chick, though, is his ex-wife, the one that, because the first story that came out from this book is that she had an affair with Gifford, Gifford. She's still alive.
That's right.
Did you hear Kathy Lee talking about it, by the way?
No. What did she say?
She asked Frank about it.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know, maybe. Like, in other words, I plowed so many chicks that it could have happened. Who knows? And she was laughing about it. I actually gave her credit for laughing it off.
Well, it's so much better than her finding out that he's cheating on her, so.
Yeah, with the huge boobed flight attendant.
Yeah. I think that's how she looked at it. Oh, she's cheating on somebody besides me. That's fine.
It's
not me.
Before she knew him, too.
Yeah, how pissed can you get about something someone did before you knew them? Although I've seen it. I've seen it.
I think I may have experienced it. Could have, maybe.
Oh, boy. The interesting thing, Johnny gets nailed by his ex-wives for money. Just nailed. Huge sums of money. And he's making a ton of money. In 69, 70, he's making $5 million a year, which at that time,
can
you imagine what kind of money that is? But the tax rate is 70%.
Yeah.
So I mentioned this a couple of days ago, or maybe yesterday, that he took deferred income. He was paid $100,000 a week. He only took $3,000 in income, so he wouldn't be in that tax bracket. So he's deferring $97,000 a week. Meanwhile, William Morris is billing him $10,000 a week for their 10% commission off his $100,000, and they had to threaten William Morris, say, look, He's making $3,000 a week. The rest is deferred.
I can't believe they got 10% commission off of him.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
A lot of dough. He had to threaten book any William Morris guests on The Tonight Show in order to get him off his ass.
Wow. He should have fought that. Or William Morris probably had everybody, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they had tons of people. He told a lot of jokes about William Morris, too, eventually. When he got pissed at people, they paid a big price. There are a couple people he told jokes about just nonstop. This one guy, Henry never knew what was it about this guy, and he wasn't that well-known a guy, but Johnny told jokes about him all the time. And finally, and Wayne Newton, too. He told a lot of Wayne Newton jokes, yeah. Wayne Newton shows up in Johnny's office one day, just blew past the receptionist, everything, just went right back to his office and told him he's going to beat the you-know-what out of him if he didn't knock it off. I know.
Oh, how stupid. How petty.
They were pretty...
You should be happy.
The jokes were very funny. I have to say, if I was Wayne Newton, I don't think I would have liked it too much. And really didn't. But, I mean, how else would he have gotten that done? You know, if Wayne Newton sends word to somebody, I don't like those jokes, Johnny. Yeah. I mean,
he probably would have done twice as many.
Yeah, he did that
too. He probably did, yeah.
He did that too.